Today on the Grave Talks, 30 Haunted Nights in Wisconsin, a conversation with Mitch Goth and Brandon Rugsy. Wisconsin is filled with ghost stories, strange legends, and places where the past doesn't always seem willing to stay buried. 30 Haunted Nights in Wisconsin was created as a paranormal travel guide, giving readers a way to explore those stories for themselves, rather than simply reading about them from home. Mitch Goth and Brandon Rugsy divided the state into regions covering haunted locations, local legends, and reported paranormal activity from one corner of Wisconsin to the other. From Shaker's Cigar Bar in Milwaukee to the Senior Center in Janesville, the book combines the history of each location with the stories and experiences that have earned it a place in Wisconsin's haunted landscape. And because there's plenty of strange and interesting things to see between ghost hunts, they also point readers toward cryptid lore, roadside oddities, and some wonderfully unusual attractions along the way. It's part paranormal investigation, part road trip, and a guide to discovering just how haunted, and maybe a little weird, Wisconsin can be. Today on the Grave Talks, are you brave enough for 30 haunted nights in Wisconsin? A conversation with Mitch Goth and Brandon Rugsy. Mitch Goth and Brandon Rugsy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I am really excited. And full disclosure here, I'm a little bit fangirling as well. Because
thank you so much for having us. It's such an honor to be here.
Well, I brought you on to talk about 30 Haunted Nights in Wisconsin. And the two of you wrote this really great book, which is exactly what you think it might be. It's about locations in Wisconsin. So as I'm digging into the book, and you two in particular, I found out that, Brandon, you are the person behind the website hauntedus.com.
I love
that website.
I'm so glad. Like, that's exactly why we made it, right? For folks who love a scary story, if they want to find out, you know, what's in their hometown, they want to find out about a place they're traveling to or just a random place in the country. It was really inspired by some of those old school things. And I'm going back to when I was in high school in the early 2000s, trying to find spooky places to go myself and using tools like Shadowlands for the old heads out there. And having a lot of difficulty finding information on these places. And it was really kind of a love letter to those, to bring real kind of concrete fact where we could and just pull those stories out and make them really accessible to people.
I think what's so great about the website is it's laid out really well. It's really easy to find things. You can search by state. You know, it's just super easy to find what you're looking for, but it gives some great background on the location as far as history, reported hauntings. And then the photographs are amazing. And you do those.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad you liked them. I've been traveling since I started this project. I think I've been to 23 states at this point, taking photos of different places. It's become a joke all around that I don't go on vacation, I go on photo shoots. So I'll leave my work job or my day job for a week and go photograph 20 places all across a state, go stay in different spots and just have like a wild road trip getting these different photos of these places. And a lot of the time that research comes into it, and it's me chatting with Mitch before I go, figuring out like, hey, you know, let's talk about where the claims are. Let me make sure that I get that one room where that spooky thing happens so that people can actually see it and see the story of that place is trying to tell.
So what came first then, the website or your friendship, or did you hire Mitch? How did this work out? How do the two of you know each other? I'll start with you, Mitch.
We came together. The first time I met Brandon, it was actually a sort of business interview. I was pursuing a new path in the paranormal world, so to speak. I had been just kind of freelance investigating around locations throughout the late 2010s. And a little while after COVID kicked in, it was still going on at the time, I decided I wanted to join a formal paranormal investigation group. And I applied to one that Brandon was a part of at the time. And he was the fellow who got to interview me for essentially the position that they had available. And we came together, went on a few investigations through that organization. And in fact, we came together and brought our minds into one to form the future goals of Haunted US on a trip for that organization. The entire team was supposed to take a big old van. It was like a Ford E-350.
Econoline.
Ford Econoline from the 1900s sometime.
so last century. Ago.
Yes, yes. And naturally, I had to sort of rendezvous with them at a park and ride in Johnson's Creek, Wisconsin. And I got there a little bit before them and was just sort of waiting. And I get a call not 5 minutes before I'm supposed to be picked up that they're on the side of the interstate with an exploded tire. So I have to wait at a, sort of mechanic. I don't exactly know what that place was. There were piles of cars all over the place. I had to wait over there. And they tried to find a tire for this van, get our trip, our investigation back on schedule. We had to go all the way to Iowa for this, and we had such a long drive ahead of us. And they couldn't find a tire. So I had to get my car out of the park and ride, take everybody who was in Milwaukee back to Milwaukee, get everybody's separate cars, and we would all drive separately all the way back to Iowa, hopefully in time for our investigation. So it was me and Brandon driving together, and in the middle of nervously booking it all the way to Iowa, we got to talking about, you know, what got us into the paranormal, why are we doing this? Why are we going through all of this extra work to go to this strange place in Iowa that both of us had been to before? And it was just for the love of the game, really. And it still pretty much is the love of what we do. And we started talking about this concept that Brandon had of essentially the shadow lands that both he and I knew from the mid-2000s. But truly everything people like us would want in a website like that. All of the great research, all of the great images. So you can, you know, if you're going to that place or you're interested in that place, you can essentially map it in your head and know where all of the ghosts come from, if they have source material stories, you know, where you can find them in the building. So if you get there, if you ever have the chance to visit these places, you know exactly where to look to find something spooky.
And you have some background in writing.
I do.
A little bit.
A tad. I started writing extensively right around the time I started ghost hunting extensively. They started almost around the same time in the summer of 2009. And interestingly, they were completely different hobbies of mine, totally different passions. I wrote a lot of fiction for a long time, a lot of sort of James Patterson-y type stories, lots of thrillers and mysteries and suspense novels, but never any ghost stories, never anything spooky. I preferred to keep the spooky things in reality and see what I could find out in the world that actually, you know, suggested that ghosts might actually be real. And I joined some other ghost hunting groups that were around in the 2010s in southern Wisconsin. We went out to, you know, spooky places around the area, haunted roads, old cemeteries, all that fun stuff. But all the while I was doing that introductory paranormal investigating, all that fun, spooky stuff, I was also doing a absurd amount of writing. I've written fiction and nonfiction. I don't know how many manuscripts exactly. I think 30 books all told, including 30 Haunted Nights in Wisconsin, 31 if we're counting the soon-to-be completed sequel, and millions of words of content. A lot of it fiction, but thanks to Haunted US, a huge amount of it is now very, very well researched and well informed nonfiction. And the last few years I've been writing for Haunted US, I think, as a matter of fact, just today, my 240th published article on Haunted US went out. So I've a ton of writing experience and a ton of ghost hunting experience at the same time that I'm happy to bring together for such
How,
a great project.
Like, to me, you know, the universe works in mysterious ways. That you could find something that combines your love of writing with your love of the paranormal. That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, there's got to be like, what, one job and you got it.
Yeah. Yep. And I have an exploded tire on a Ford Econoline.
Right.
That just goes to show that, you know, you can plan for a lot of things. You can, you know, aspire to a lot of things, to be a writer, to be a accomplished ghost hunter, but you can never really plan for where you're actually going to end
right.
up, because it's stuff like that that lands you on the paths that you're actually meant to be on.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you can't plan for the quality of Ford tires.
I'm pretty sure those were aftermarkets. Let's be real.
Yeah, let's be real.
Brandon, how did you end up getting into the paranormal? Is that something that, you know, kind of your whole life you've been into?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was raised on X-Files and Unsolved Mysteries. My mom was always into ghost stories, and I think she told those to me when I was pretty young. And it ended up being kind of a lifelong interest. When it came to things like a high school, getting a little bit older, I spent a lot of time at haunted roads. Actually, one of the haunted roads is in the book, Fitzsimmons. And I kind of became the unofficial high school tour guide of Fitzsimmons Road, taking friends there at night and walking them along this 1 mile like drag of road through the woods and telling them the stories. And I always enjoyed that so much, and found myself kind of moving away from it once I got to college, kind of focusing on school and everything. And years later, I saw an advertisement for a public paranormal investigation. I was like, oh man, that would be so fun. So I grabbed a friend and I go to this event, and I'm expecting, you know, people to jump out in sheets at some point and try to scare us. But it ends up being this really kind of well thought out and methodical practice that they're doing. And I had never seen anything like it. And I was so impressed that I just asked if I could join. And they were like, ooh, it's a pretty rigorous process. We'll be in touch. And I talked to the interviewer for that position for about 3.5 hours on the phone. And we swapped back and forth ghost stories and, you know, debunking things. And we went through the whole gambit. It was just wonderful. And I ended up with that group for a number of years. And that's actually the same group that had the infamous Ford Econoline that brought Mitch and I together.
Who knew? Who knew?
Yeah. And so I had realized, this was about 2017 that I joined them. And by about 2020, I had realized that I was slowly becoming less interested in immediately investigating. I had been in enough haunted places that I was like, okay, this doesn't scare me anymore. I can explain most of what I understand in these places. And the part that really started speaking to me was walking around and getting photos and connecting with a building in that way. And that ended up really taking over my passion. The beauty of these old buildings cannot be overstated. They are they are phenomenal. You know, you have your peeling wallpaper. Some people love a sunset, and I love peeling wallpaper and debris on the floor and way too many spiders.
It's atmosphere.
Exactly. It's impossible to get away from atmosphere in these places. And yeah, so I had this idea percolating, like, oh man, I would love if I could get these photos and share them. And then it all kind of came back, like, oh hey, in high school I was always looking at stuff like Shadowlands, trying to find these places. Why don't I do this? And then it became like, okay, well, I'll start building the website, and then Mitch came along and I was kind of telling him about it. And he was like, oh, well, I'm a writer. I was like, oh, really? and the chocolate just kind of landed in the peanut butter and we were off to the races.
That is so fascinating to me, the way it all came together, because that's what that website does so well is the photos I love, but it's the stories as I'm looking at these pictures and the way it's laid out. It's really interesting now to know the backstory of that website.
Yeah. It's all love on there, you know? This isn't something where we're charging businesses or we get paid a lot of money to go out and do this. We're doing this mostly on our own dime just to share the stories.
And Mitch, how did you get interested in the paranormal then? Does that also for you go way back?
It goes a decent way back, but not all the way to childhood. I don't want to say I was a logical toddler, but I was never very engaged in, you know, paranormal or lore growing up. I wasn't, you know, terrified of ghosts in the closet or anything. And I guess I had seen maybe an episode or two of Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi when it was airing, but I never really put much stock in it as anything I was interested in. And then once again, just sort of a happenstance kind of event in my life. My dad bought a house, two houses down from a friend of mine. I was in middle school at the time. And so a friend of mine from middle school's family lived just down the road from where my dad bought a new house, and we moved in there. And, you know, I got really close with this kid who lived down the block, and I learned pretty quick that, you know, his whole family was this one ghost hunting group. They were a partridge family of paranormal people. And they would all go out on, you know, Saturdays when they could, Friday nights, Saturdays, to old homes, restaurants, theaters in the area that were said to be haunted. And it was a good probably year or two of knowing them before I apparently expressed enough interest one day where they invited me out one evening to go on a ghost hunt. And I figured that was an interesting thing to try and do one particular Saturday. And so I went out with them and we went to this old, it was a mansion for a very long time, but it was a restaurant before it closed. And so it looked like a house from the outside, but it's just wide open, kind of old 90s restaurant inside. It was a place called The Manor in Beloit, Wisconsin, and it's unfortunately not there anymore. It was bulldozed in 2013. But they started going through their classic processes of ghost hunting, you know, doing EMF sweeps, doing EVP sessions, which were ridiculous to me, you know, just asking questions out into the ethereal nothing, and apparently hearing nothing back. You know, in the moment, you don't really hear anything at all, most of the time anyway. We got a good deal of the way through the main EVP session. You know, some groups do it in individual sessions. This group basically started their recording at the beginning of the night and just kept on recording for 6-7 hours, however long we were there. So a good few hours into this, you know, ongoing EVP session, someone had set up an old tri-field meter in the corner of one of the upstairs rooms. And for folks who may not have encountered an old school tri-field, you couldn't really see anything on it. It didn't have any backlights. It was all an analog display. But some models, you had a little alarm, a little kind of electronic whine that would happen whenever it caught something. And we were going through the questions and answer process of EVP sessions. And this strange sound came from that room. And we all rushed in. And the person who owned the tri-field was certain, like, that this is the tri-field going off. It's exactly what it sounds like. And we get to the room and it sounds like it's kind of coming from the room, but they pick up the tri-field and there's no reading on it. The sound that we are all hearing and still hearing is not coming from the device, even though it sounds almost exactly like it. And we all take a closer listen to this sound that is simultaneously in the room with us and everywhere outside of it at the same time. And it sounds a little less like the mechanical whine of an alarm and more of a distant, far off screaming.
Oh.
And this continues for about 30 solid seconds after we deduce that this kind of sounds like somebody screaming, and it is always far away, but never outside the building far away. It's always somewhere, but you can't pinpoint it. And we tried to pinpoint it that whole time and we couldn't. And it faded off into, once again, that ethereal nothing where, you know, young me was sure that nothing existed. But I left that particular evening not so sure about that anymore. And what I thought would be a fun time to do once on one lonely Saturday in 2009 is something I still very much enjoy doing today.
Once again, look how the universe jumped in.
Yeah, you can't really plan for where you're meant to end up.
Right. I love that you called them the Partridge Family of Paranormal. That made me laugh. So when I first reached out to Mitch about the book, I was like, why 30 nights in Wisconsin of all states? And you're both from Wisconsin. So that now I've got that figured out. That wasn't such a mystery after all.
Yeah, it was very much a strategic move from us to make sure that we could get to all the locations.
Yeah, and a move of, you know, knowledge and passion for both of us, because, you know, it's not just that we're from Wisconsin. We know a lot of the lore already. We knew a lot of the lore already. We got to discover so much newness in the strangeness of Wisconsin and all the weird corners and nooks and crannies we found. But we started with a really, really strong base of knowledge. Like Brandon said, he was very well aware of things like Fitzsimmons Road and all of these little pieces of lore around the Milwaukee area. And I knew my Janesville locations and all of the spooky haunted roads around there, including the spooky haunted road that became the cover of the book. It was all of that, at least, was pre-existing knowledge that we got to build off of. So not only was it geographically a great first step, it was also an excellent opportunity for both of us to show off our existing knowledge as well as, you know, passionately expand it even further.
One of the big things that we wanted to do with the book was specifically make something more tangible, right? We have the website and we work on that, but we were hoping to kind of move past that into, frankly, the glove box of the car. We built the whole book around the different regions in Wisconsin and made sure that there were places, no matter where you were in the state, and oddities between those places as connective tissue to make sure that you could take this book and go have your own adventures.
And it works really well for that, because actually you call it a haunted U.S. travel guide, and it really is. You know, you could go to look at all these, you could put your vacation together by looking at this book.
Very true. And we hope that people do.
Is this the first haunted U.S. book that you've done?
It is. Yeah. Not our last. We're actually, believe it or not, with the states, we're planning 50 books.
Really?
I mean, maybe, we'd like to.
Maybe even 51 if they add another while we're doing it.
You never know.
Yeah, that's true.
You never know. The book is really well done as far as it's easy to follow, but it's what surprised me was now that I've realized that you are the guy behind the people behind hauntedus.com, the photography now makes sense to me because it's like it's the photographs are really good, but it's also they're in color. Even though I'm looking at a paperback book, and you've got really cool pictures of the locations in here as well.
Yeah, that was one of the strong requirements as we went through this. And Mitch has had, obviously, with 30 books, a lot of previous experience, but writing paperbacks. So this was a new experience for both he and I to work together and try to make sure that the layout and the visuals of this book live up to our standard for Haunted US. And I was very pleasantly surprised by how those pictures came out. I saw that we'd be able to have color photos, and I didn't know if that meant like newspaper quality.
Right.
So I was blown away when first looking at those.
So did you guys go to each of the 30 locations? And there's oddities in between. So you might start out talking about southeastern Wisconsin. Then you talk about some oddities in that area that people can go see. It might be like a haunted bridge or something like that. Or I can't remember what area it's in, but the world's largest potato masher is in Plover, Plover, Wisconsin.
Yep.
Yeah. So we have been to all of the locations, including the oddities, and it was incredible. I can vouch for this book and the concept of it as a road trip because Mitch and I have done it. And some of those, some of the times we had were more treacherous than others. We had a day where we drove about 1,300 miles through an ice storm all the way to Superior, Wisconsin by Duluth. Yeah, that was a white knuckle drive. But we stopped at, I think, 10 or 15 places and got photos in that one day. And it was quite an experience.
We also started an ice storm.
Yeah, we started the day at what is believed to be a haunted subway.
Since you just mentioned it, let's talk about this haunted subway real quick. So it used to be like a motorcycle shop or something, or the people owned it were into motorcycling.
Yeah, the subway. It wasn't originally a motorcycle shop per se. There was a large kind of half Harley Davidson dealership, half, you know, bike repair shop on that plot of land some years before. And the couple who owned the property, or, you know, local Dodgeville, Wisconsin legend says they were killed in a motorcycle accident and their property was bulldozed and repurposed into this subway restaurant. And you can still see the subway right outside of Dodgeville, right next to the highway there today. It is not the spookiest building. If you picture a subway restaurant in your head, you have pictured this building. And, you know, there's this ongoing kind of philosophy in the paranormal that it's not the building, it's the land. Mm-hmm. And this is certainly a case of that. Or of course, so the local legends say. The two owners of the motorcycle shop who passed away now supposedly haunt almost exclusively the basement. So unless you're an employee of this subway, you're not going to get the opportunity to encounter these spirits. But if you are an employee, supposedly you will run into them a lot. They will knock things off of shelves, and then when employees go down there to pick the things up that the spirits have knocked over, the spirits will appear to them or shut the lights off all of a sudden, or give them a burst of cold air, a sudden cold spot, presumably just to mess with them and prank them. And when we got there, the ice storm was forming outside, and I usually have a pretty distinct process for researching on site at a location. But most of the time, the places do kind of look the part. And Brandon, for some reason, thought just because the place wasn't spooky, I wouldn't be spooky about it. But I'm always spooky about a place. It doesn't matter. So he told me that he would buy me dinner after this long day that we're about to start, wherever we ended up. He would buy me dinner if I went in there and gave my classic spooky spiel to these poor, unfortunate sandwich artists.
High school kids.
Yes, of course that's what I did. So we get there. The ice rain is already starting to fall, and it's breakfast time at this subway. And so I go in. No one else is in there except for these two employees. And I walk up to the counter, and I say what I always do when I essentially have to cold call a location, which does happen sometimes. I will walk up to whoever is the lucky or unlucky person at the front desk, and I will ask them a very simple question. Have you ever experienced anything spooky in this building? And if they say yes, wonderful. And if they say no, I get to respond with, would you like to? Because, well, that's what I'm there for. And luckily, this person said yes. Yes, they had experienced things there. And not only that, I was far from the first person to come in there asking about it. It is apparently something they encounter just as often as they encounter the hauntings themselves, people coming in to ask about the spirits who haunt this subway restaurant. And so I got the stories from these two employees. One of them had directly encountered the activity of things being knocked off the basement shelves. They hadn't had an apparition appear before them or the light shut off while they were down there. But the other employee had actually had a report from when they were closing up. If you've ever closed a restaurant, a big process is shutting all of the lights off at the end and in a particular order so you don't have to wander through any dark spaces. Trip. And they did all of that. They shut off all the lights in the order they were supposed to. And they got by, they got to the exit in the back of the building, and they had one last light switch to flip off. And as they flipped that one off, all the other lights in the building came back on. And they had to make a choice between going through the obviously haunted subway, they thought at that point, and flipping all of these lights off to try again, or just come back in the morning and deal with the boss then being angry.
Leave him on.
And they did not go shut off a single one. They walked right out and dealt with it in the morning.
Do they have quite the turnover there, or did you ask?
I wanted to ask really badly, but also I didn't want to ask the people who might be, you know, very soon to turn over. You know, are you going to quit your job?
Yeah, how much longer are you going to be here?
Right.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Mitch Goth and Brandon Rugsy about their book, 30 Haunted Nights in Wisconsin. You can find the book on Amazon and make sure you check out their website, hauntedus.com. You'll love it. Also give them a follow on their socials. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.